from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Thursday, March 21st, 2024, the first day of spring. And who would have thunk it? This year has gone by so fast. We're 10 days away from the end of the first quarter. If you think of the last few months and you think of what's gone on so far in 2024, for many cybersecurity practitioners, it's been unearthing, it's been unnerving, it's been very stressful, it's been a lot on our plate. Developments, technology adoption, the speed of business, the uncertain economic situations, the cutdowns and the merging and acquisitions, so much going on, and we're going to talk about a lot of that on this morning's show. Got a packed show for all of y'all today. I mean, really, really packed. So first of all, if you haven't subscribed to our Substack yet, please make sure to do so. Go to jamesazar.substack.com. You get a written summary with action items of this show at our Substack exclusively. It ends in your mailbox, typically within 15 to 20 minutes after the show's over. It's in your inbox for you to share. It's also got the audio version of the podcast there available as well. You can also find us on your favorite podcast listening platform, so make sure to check that out as well. When you do, if you go to our Substack and you decide to subscribe and support the show, we send you one of these awesome espresso travel mugs as well, exclusively for you supporting our program. Now, without further ado, join me for a coffee cup cheers. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. Love a good espresso. Let's kick off with some critical patches that have been announced over the last 24 hours. Atlassian on Tuesday announced patches for about 24 vulnerabilities in Bamboo, Bitbucket, Confluence, and Jira products, including a critical severity bug that could be exploited without user interaction. That bug has a CVSS score of 10 and is tracked as CVE-2024-15907. It's described as an SQL injection issue. The critical severity flaw impacts the org Postgres SQL and Postgres SQL third-party dependency on the Bamboo data center and server. According to Atlassian, the issue could allow an unauthenticated attacker to expose assets in your environment susceptible to exploitation, which has a high impact to confidentiality, high impact to integrity, high impact to availability, and requires no user interaction at all. This is significant. The vulnerability affects versions 8.2.1, 9.0.0, 9.1.0, 9.2.1, and a whole bunch. You got to be at version 9.6.0 and 9.5.2, 9.4.4, 9.2.12 if you want to be over this flaw. Additional vulnerabilities exist within the Atlassian product, including the Confluence data center and server, with a high severity path traversal bug that was patched there as well. You want to make sure you get your Atlassian products all taken care of. Avanti is able to patch a critical severity standalone Sentry vulnerability reported by the NATO Cybersecurity Center researchers. The standalone Sentry is deployed as an organization's Kerberos key distribution center proxy server, or as a gatekeeper for ActiveSync enabled Exchange and SharePoint servers. CVE-2023-41724 impacts all versions. And it allows unauthenticated bad actors within the same physical or logical network to execute arbitrary commands in low complexity attacks. So let's break this down a little bit. This is the second critical vulnerability for Avanti. This one took them a little bit of while to patch, but it's now being reported. It's now patched. You want to make sure you get it. Avanti is a cyber criminal's favorite kind of product to go after, typically because of where it's installed. Avanti's larger customer base was predominantly government. And so it's really a prime target. So if you manage an Avanti device and you manage these specific devices, you do really want to kind of put that in high gear, get those patched. Remember, within 24 hours of this being published, there's active scans and exploits being developed to take advantage of it, meaning a 14-day period to patch something is technically 13 days too long. And so your vulnerability management and patch management programs really have to be primed for these types of events. And the stakeholders that would be involved in ensuring this gets executed properly without impacting business operations have to be primed to be able to do this. And that's really part of the responsibility as a cybersecurity practitioner. So something to keep in mind there with this one from Avanti. For all you Chrome users, Google and Mozilla on Tuesday announced web browser security updates and addressed dozens of different vulnerabilities, including a critical severity and multiple high security flaws. Chrome 123 was released in the stable channel with patches for 12 bugs, seven of which were reported by external researcher. Google paid $22,000 all in all for this specific update as part of their program. Firefox released Mozilla released Firefox 124 with patches for also 12 security defects as well. So you want to make sure you get those browsers updated again. These should be something that is done right off the bat. There's a patch, get it done, automate it, push it out, be done with it. The kind of stuff that's really easy to patch should be patched without even any user interaction. Just release the patch, get it done, move on, reduce that vulnerability, reduce that threat landscape, focus on the stuff that really can that really requires attention from stakeholders. A high-profile takedown of a bunch of ransomware operators apparently starting to show a real impact. Now, this is a story by Dark Reading, and it's talking about kind of what's going on with Lockbit and Alpha V and Black Cat, etc. Well, here's the thing. Lockbit was kind of taken down. They came right back. Black Cat retired in a way, but they're really going to come back under a different moniker, a different name. They're kind of breaking it up. And simply because of the success they had, and they know that a law enforcement is going to come at it. And because of the decentralized nature of cybercrime, as we deal with it, and that's really it's something I've been working on for Substack, and I've promised all of y'all that I'd be releasing it, and I'm not yet done with it, but I feel like after kind of doing a little bit more research from this story, I feel like I can give y'all some really actionable items as part of that story I'll be publishing on Substack. So you think of the decentralized nature of crime today. When the original kill chain came out, it was kind of the same threat actor, maybe different divisions. Now it's different threat actors in different places doing different things. They all grab a bit and piece, and then they all essentially come together to launch an attack. And they may not know each other. These aren't people who are associated. Black Cat retiring now is actually something that is important to pay attention to because of the fact that they're decentralized, meaning through the Lockbit takedown, it could have impacted a Black Cat affiliate or someone within the Black Cat gang of that provides services to Black Cat as well. And the concern there could have been from everyone else is, what if they flip? What if they find us? Let's just dissolve, reestablish ourselves under a different name in 3, 6, 12 months and come back at it. And in this time, we'll work kind of underground. We won't launch attacks and stay under the radar. There's multiple reports around this, several from, you know, Palo Alto, GuidePoint Security, and many others. The state of the ransomware ecosystem is really kind of picking up here. They're not losing, you know, I see a lot of people talk about this, but their infrastructure isn't really taken down. They're going to go about this completely different. They're going to come back with different names, and they're going to assemble new people into the kind of part of the business they may not trust, or they may have lost due to other gang takedowns. So it's something to keep in mind and not ignore, because it will come back, and it will come back with a vengeance and something to keep an eye on. India, for their end, are dealing with a malware campaign offering malware as a service targeting Android users in the country. According to Broadcom, the campaign distributed a malicious APK package and seeks out banking information, SMS messages, and other sensitive information from a victim device. The campaign is actively being exploited and distributed under the guise of helpful apps like customer support, online bookings, billing, or courier services. Android users in the affected regions can protect themselves by downloading only applications from trusted sources, which is easier said than done on Android because Google refuses to take their gloves off and do something about it. Palo Alto commissioned a new survey in December of last year asking industrial organizations that are going through a cyber attack, what is going on when you're doing it? 2,000 respondents participated in the Palo Alto survey. 3/4 of the respondents said they detected malicious cyber activity in their OT environment. 24% of them said they were forced to shut down OT operations due to a successful attack in the past year. That's insane. Either because of actual disruption or as a preemptive measure, because of the interaction between OT and IT and the fear that it could cause greater damage. And OT environments cost a whole lot more than IT environments, meaning if someone was to be able to actually hack an OT environment, impact the PLC HMI, there's significant threats to the production of whatever it is that they're doing, whether it be manufacturing, energy, oil and gas, whatever it is. If you're able to successfully intrude and get in there and actually manipulate the OT systems, the damage isn't in $7 or $12 million. The damage is in the $60, $70, $100, and $150, and even $200 million realm. If you don't believe me, look at Clorox. Clorox had to shut down manufacturing. They've had to revise their earning reports. They've had to revise their inventory availability. They've had to revise distribution. There were supermarkets in the country that had signs under Clorox that said, due to a cybersecurity attack, these products may not be shelved for a little while. People were collecting Clorox bleach products because they were like, oh, what if we run out? So there's that, and that happened. And so you kind of see that IT systems are unsurprisingly the most common entry point for these organizations. 28% reported seeing attacks that originated in their OT environment, meaning it started in OT, and OT is harder to patch. It's harder to maintain because of availability. You got to have redundant systems. You've got to schedule it. There's rules that go about how you do it, especially in the energy sector, especially because you can't afford to have any downtime. Any sort of time of downtime is time of unavailability. And in order to schedule downtime somewhere, you've really got to load balance the energy consumption in order to be able to do so. And those are things that are often not really viewed upon when we look at them as practitioners. But if you don't understand the business and the rules that the business executives kind of look at, it's very hard to be a successful practitioner in security. So that's something, again, very keen to look at here with these. And we've got a few more stories here. Let's run through them. We're almost at time. So one, tax season, April 15th is just around the corner. Social engineering scams are happening everywhere. Something great to do internally in your organization. Send out a reminder now. The IRS is never going to call you. They're never going to send you an email asking for your PII. It's just not going to happen. A short little nice, you know, paragraph email that's maybe sent out by the security team or HR goes a long way to ensuring that your employees are protected in these times, because criminals are looking. Now's the time to steal money from the IRS and hijack your tax returns. So something definitely to keep in mind. GitHub on Wednesday announced the public beta availability of a code scanning autofix, a new feature meant to help developers address code vulnerabilities faster. This was initially announced in November of last year. We kind of brought it up on one of the shows. It's now available in beta on all GitHub. It scans. It's powered by the code completion tool Copilot and semantic code analysis engine CodeQL to identify vulnerabilities in Java, TypeScript, Java, and Python repositories and provide fix suggestions for them. So GitHub adding that feature. And then yesterday, the House actually did something, believe it or not. The bill passed, the data broker bill has actually passed the House, now goes to the Senate. It passed unanimously in the House yesterday, meaning no one voted against it. One thing everyone agreed on, American data should not be sold to foreign adversaries. So there's something we can all agree on. Now let's start to kind of break down more walls and bring this country back together rather than split it more apart. Along with the companion legislation that would require TikTok to divest from its Chinese ownership or effectively be blocked from operating in the U.S., this data privacy bill advances out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee on March 7th. The movement made its way to the floor, and in lightning speed compared to traditional stuff, was passed now. This was a bipartisan bill, passed unanimously. It'll now go to the Senate, and if passed there, would meet the president's desk where it would become law, and your data can no longer be sold to foreign adversaries. So that's a good thing. One small step is good. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back Monday, 9 a.m. with all the latest and greatest. Tomorrow, Chris Fullone and I will be talking Zero Trust with all of y'all. That's going to air at 11 a.m. Eastern. Go check that out. Make sure to subscribe to the program. Thank you all for tuning in this morning. Have a great rest of your day. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.